Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
All right, welcome in the Cube Show podcast, a college football podcast. Usually comes to you on Sundays because of Disney, UFL, spring game schedule, T-ball, coach pitch. We're a little off base here, but we're going to try to jam some of these spring game reviews and team reviews from the spring in for you and get to each and every one. A couple we'll kind of go backwards on and give you a few thoughts. We got guys in the portal. That window has now opened. Not necessarily what everybody thought it was going to be. We had a lot of people say this was going to be open the floodgates, blow up the dam. Here comes the most portal entries we've ever seen in the history of the transfer portal. Just kind of really wasn't that. Could there be more coming? Yeah, absolutely. I think when some kids finish their spring, see where they are on the depth chart, maybe get through the spring game, they might make that decision. I don't think kids have to have the spring game. Hell, we've already seen kids from USC go in. Their spring games this weekend. A&M had a couple go in. Their spring game's coming up. So that's not definitive at all. Doesn't have to be that way. But I think there will be some more trickling. It's just those big names that we thought, not necessarily there. Not a lot of impact players have gone into the portal. Maybe a few. You got a receiver from Houston, a running back from Oregon State, a D lineman from TCU, but not a lot of guys are going to come in and completely change things for a lot of teams. Some defensive linemen from Pitt that potentially could help, but we'll wait and see. And once the portal thing kind of settles down a little bit, we'll have a longer conversation about it, probably dedicate a show to it in the next couple of weeks once guys start figuring out where they're going and committing. And then obviously when they come into the SEC, we'll let you know. We're brought to you each and every week by Wickles Pickles, wickedly delicious. We absolutely love Wickles Pickles. Wickles.com, you can go order them. Go to your grocery store, try to get them. Don't forget about the okra. Don't forget about the relish. And obviously they've got the gear at Wickles.com as well. So if you want one of the hats, you want the mug, whatever it is, you can go grab those at Wickles.com right now. We appreciate them being the title sponsor of the show. We're going to go Alabama spring review today. Watched the spring game. Saw my boy McElroy getting made fun of for signing autographs for 37 minutes pregame. And obviously Pash not knowing that the Crimson Tide were not maroon. But hey, either way, we all make mistakes. I think there's a lot to be excited about. I think a lot of the I did learn some things with the actual game, which kind of brings me to one point that I wanted to hit when we rewind. We already did our Ole Miss spring review, but we had the Ole Miss spring festival over the weekend. I have no problem with it. Would I much rather have football from any school? Yeah, sure. I want to learn as much as I can about teams before we go into a season as humanly possible. Seeing them actually play some football is going to help me with that. But I'm not mad at it. And I think it goes further to prove how intelligent Lane is, just how calculated he is. I don't believe that this was just fun and games. Now, obviously, the things that they did were tug of war dunk contest, hot dog eating contest. It was great. You got some buzz for the school. You got some buzz for the program. You showed your players it's a fun environment. Guys want to stick around. Guys want to be a part of that. Great. Awesome. Cool. I think that there's another portion of this. And I'll give McElroy some credit, kind of stealing this idea from him a little bit. But once he said it, I was like, yeah, absolutely. Let's go back to Texas last year. What happened in their spring game? You got a backup quarterback ball out, Malik Murphy. People started peeing their pants, wanted him to be a part of their team. What did Texas have to do? Up the ante on the NIL just to keep him and hang on to him. And then obviously still probably knew you were going to lose him at one day, and eventually they do. I think a lot of this is hiding your talent and not letting a second string receiver or third string running back or second string edge defender or cornerback go out there and make a bunch of plays. And all of a sudden somebody sees it and says, that kid could help us. What if we gave him this? And then you get him and he comes in. He wants to leave. So yeah, you're protecting a little bit of your scheme, but hell, that's out there. Everybody knows what that is. I can go get that right now. I don't think it's as much the plays and where the players are going to line up or who, you know, how you're going to utilize different people. Most people know what you are by now. But I think this is hiding your players, hiding your talent to an extent to say, one, we don't want to put a depth chart out there or have a guy go out there, run second, third, fourth string reps and get upset and leave. Two, we don't want other people to see those guys to where they may go make them an offer. And if somebody's been having a good spring, we'll try to keep as much of that in-house as we can. So it's absolutely brilliant. It continues really to go along with what Lane really is that I don't think a lot of people give him credit for, and that is just maniacally brilliant. I think everything he does is calculated. I think he knows exactly what he's doing. A lot of people think that he's this Dumbo behind his phone on Twitter just making things up, and I just don't think that's it at all. Once that was presented to me, I bought it and I fell for it and I thought it was an awesome idea. So good for them. Portal is open. Got some guys from the SEC. Like I said, we'll hit a couple, but LSU's got a corner, a linebacker, receiver, and an edge defender in there. Tiny Connor Gilbreth is in. I think he could help. I love how aggressive he is. Big, long body, but you got Mason Taylor. Auburn loses a long snapper, a corner, and an edge defender. Brenton Williams, the edge defender. I don't know how effective he was going to be or how he was going to play, but I do know this affects the numbers for Auburn at that position, and that's not great because they're thin at edge. I'll go ahead and say this as well because there's a lot of things that are kind of floating around about this, a lot of people saying different things. I don't think Auburn is shopping for a quarterback. I don't think Auburn is planning on offering a quarterback right now. I think they're going to ride with Peyton Thorne. I think with a better group of receivers, a better offensive line, a good group of tight ends, a great running back core. They think they can build this thing up to where he doesn't have to be a game changer to successfully move the offense on a regular basis. So you'll hear a lot of people say that they are and that they're – have there been conversations? Probably. But I don't think this is something that's active or desperate or anything like that. And then you'll get the people who want to back it up with, well, if the right guy presents himself, folks, that's every damn school in America. If the right quarterback presents itself to Ohio State, they're going to take him. It's what it is. So every school would take the right kid if he can come in and help. Doesn't mean that they were necessarily shopping for him or desperately looking for him. So Missouri doesn't need receivers, but if the right receiver shows up and has interest, they're probably going to take a look and make a run. That's just what it is. So, Georgia would take a quarterback if the right one showed up. He's not going to beat Carson Beck out, but hell, they'll take him and put him in there. Kirby has shown he'll collect quarterbacks. So Missouri's got wide receiver Dennis Jackson in the portal, defensive lineman Kai Montgomery. They got a tight end in there also. Vandy's got a safety linebacker and a tackle. Shane Witter, a linebacker, Oklahoma's in. They got a tight end in. A&M had a couple guys go in, but I'm not – maybe a little bit of depth, O-line, corner, safety. Georgia gets a receiver in there, an O-lineman in there, nothing to worry about. Raymond Cottrell, wide receiver, Kentucky goes in. They're deep at that spot, so it's not a concern. Now, Ole Miss did have a backup quarterback go in, but nothing to worry about. Josh Harris, D tackle, goes in. He could help. He's got some good film out there, and he's got good reps inside of him. I just think that they probably had the same issue NC State did, and that's consistently getting him out of him. Key Lawrence at safety, I thought could have helped as well. A veteran, played a ton of football, but he's going to hit the portal again, and he's going to be out. So, like I said, we'll go back into a lot of that a little bit later. When some of it begins to settle, we know who's going to end up going where. And if there are big hits to schools that we think it's going to really do some damage to as far as their perspective of winning games, we'll talk about that. Blue Delta Jeans, speaking of Oxford, Mississippi, the most comfortable denim you will ever wear. Go to BlueDeltaJeans.com. You can get fit digitally now. You got Mother's Day coming up, Father's Day after that. You got graduation. Great gift is the Blue Delta Jeans gift card. Get these youngsters set with a beautiful pair of jeans that they can wear to the office, they can wear out on a date, whatever it is. You can dress them up, dress them down, casual, flexible, stretchy, breathable, and they're fit just for you. So you're going to love Blue Delta Jeans. Go to BlueDeltaJeans.com right now. Tell them you heard about them right here on Cube Show. Nick and the guys will take great care of you. They were just over in Augusta at the Masters getting some folks fitted up there. So, but this Alabama team, I think there's a lot to be excited about. I really do. And one cool thing about the spring, because a lot of people will tell you can't learn anything from a spring game, you know, nothing happens in the spring game. I think it got a good little peek into offensively, defensively, what might be a little bit different. Offensively, you got to see how some of the things are going to be mirrored up. They got to pay attention here, but you'll run split zones so that tight end will come across. Well, guess what they're going to do? Sometimes they're going to pull it and throw it to him. You got to see the offense formations evened up a little bit more, more pistol formation. That doesn't give the defense a chance to cheat you right or left with the back being offset. Then pistol formation, move the back late to run the play from one direction to the other. a lot of pre-snap movement. There have been times in the past where the presentation of the Alabama offense was a little bit, here it is, good luck stopping it. And they had better players, so it didn't really matter. Now, that wasn't the case under Lane or under Sark, but maybe last year it happened a little bit more than Tommy wanted it to because they were having such a hard time finding out the identity of that offense, and it changed multiple times throughout the course of the season. Either way, you got a little peek at just sort of how that's going to be and how it's going to go, how the route tree is going to vary. I did love some of the East and West stuff. We haven't seen a ton of that at Alabama recently. Sark did a lot of it. Lane did some of it, but hadn't seen that in a minute. And I think it's something that can really help keep defenses at bay in certain ways. And it looks like Alabama has a couple of guys that are going to be able to help with that. Defensively, a lot of different looks. Three down, four down, they'll go even. It's going to be that vision coverage, Husky position a little bit different. They're going to bring pressure from different areas. And I think Cade Womack, when you see some of the things he did with certain bodies in the spring, he's going to have some types of players that he's never had before that will allow him to run more things. I think this defense will probably vary more than people believe. I think you'll see different looks, different packages, different pressures because he's got the guys to be able to do it, plain and simple. That's going to allow him to be able to put a lot of stress on opposing offenses just by the different looks he's going to be able to give them. And with some of the veterans they have in the secondary we're going to talk about, probably a big reason he'll be able to do it. But there are needs. We'll get to some of them. And I think I learned a little bit about some of the individuals in this game as well. Jalen Milroe at quarterback, I think he's taken a little bit of a progression, seemed comfortable in the offense, made a lot of nice touch throws down the sideline. You saw some of the quick release stuff. He's going to have to get a little bit better at that. Saw him utilize his legs. I think there'll be more quarterback design runs than some people think. Some people look at Penix numbers last year and just say, well, they don't have that. I think you'll get more of it than you believe. And it'll probably be something that's a pretty big part of this offense. Ty Simpson had a good spring. They feel good about him. They like him. Feel confident that he could come in and manage things and they would be okay with him in the game. Dylan Lonergan, a little bit meh. Didn't show me a ton in the spring game, and not a lot's changed from what I heard about him from a year ago. Just that. Austin Mack, they love him. Don't take anything into note of where he was in this game, how he played in this game. The guys that he was with didn't give him a lot of protection. He had some bad snaps, which that's got to be cleaned up. We talked about that last year. But they love his size, love his ability. This kid's just 17 years old. He's young. They know he's not going to play right now, which is why I think they pushed Ty Simpson a little bit more because you've got to have someone who can come in and manage it and handle it and be your guy for two quarters or two games or whatever that is, two series maybe. And I think Ty Simpson's getting close to being able to be that guy, a major reason he stuck around. The running back position, strong. I mean, it usually is at Alabama, but it's not any different now. Jam Miller showed you that explosive capability. The one long run that he had, Booker did a nice job coming off and popping a linebacker. You had a little cross-dog blitz there with those linebackers inside. He was able to bounce it to the left and be able to get up there for a big gain. He can be that explosive back. He's that guy that has sort of the breakaway speed. Justice Haynes, a little bit more of your power back. But if you go watch his touchdown run early in the game, he had a really nice cut on that run that I don't think a lot of backs would have seen. So good vision, good feel for kind of where to fit in behind that offensive line, and that cut allowed him to be able to get into the end zone. They also love Richard Young. And if you pay attention to a couple of his runs in this game, they might not have been 20, 80 yards, but he runs with authority. And I think that's what this group likes about him is he is a young man that can bring the pop and the oomph, just a legitimate north-south downhill runner. And that can be valuable at times, late in games, whatever it is, short yardage situations, and he'll be able to offer that. I think you'll see a little bit more of him than some people are talking about this year. He's not taking carries away from Justice or Jam per se, but he could be helpful in this offense. And I tell you, the staff likes Danny Hill. I don't know where he's going to fit in or how much he'll get, but I know they feel good about him. The offensive line in front of those guys, middle three, super confident. They look good in the game. Tyler Booker, Jaden Roberts did some really good things. Good movement at the point of attack, great on their combos, came off with some linebacker pressures at different points and times. Like, those guys are going to be legit. That's one of your best combos of guards in the SEC going into the season right now. A few others might be close, but I'd put them up there against anybody. And then it was really more Brockmeyer in this game. Apparently, Brailsford will be back later. Don't know exactly when, but don't count him out. Someone that could still help this football team. But the good news is he's more than capable. And now Brockmeyer looks like he's capable. So you have some depth at that position. That's a real plus. That's good news because As we saw last year, when snaps and other things become a bit of an issue, you want to have somewhere to turn. You'd even go back to the prior year when Dalcourt had some injury issues and Seth had to go in and play. He was able to handle it and manage it. So I think the offensive line has a chance to be fine. Elijah Pritchett had a really good spring. They're confident in his growth, confident in what he can do. I saw some good pass rush traits from him in this game, changing directions, staying on balance. Even I saw him get beat twice inside with his hands. He missed on his punch, but he was able to redirect and keep that defender off the quarterback. Now, opposite him, not great. Didn't feel good about it. And that might be an area that they go to the portal. Kaden Proctor is going to be back. That's pretty much solidifying itself as we speak. He could be the one that you plug in right there, and he's ready to go, and you're just fine. But I think Pritchett is going to be a starter. I think he has a chance to be a good tackle. Has grown. He's got all the ability. Great feet so far. Work on his punch a little bit more. Work on maybe some of his bend. Got his pad level a little bit too high at times. But I will say, after this group, I don't know how much I feel really good about. Backup center, yes, probably. But swing tackle, I don't think they have yet. And backup guards, not a ton. Just yet. So at least not from what I saw or what I've been told. But that group has a chance to be strong, specifically with the middle three and how they're going to operate, and maybe a little bit more RPO based, where you've got to have the middle solidified just to be able to run some of that stuff. You have to. Tight ends are going to help. They got a big group of tight ends, physical group of tight ends. There were a couple where CJ Dupree and the offensive tackle latched onto somebody and it was legit movement, 2-3 yards of movement. And that's what CJ is going to bring. He brings that oomph along with Robbie Utes, who we know can handle it. You saw him operate as the splitter a few times coming across the line of scrimmage. You know, he can essentially be your hard hat, dirty work guy. He's cut out for it. That's what he does. But he's valuable. Not a lot of teams have that guy. Number one, that wants to do it. And number two, that's good at it, that excels with it. And he does. It'll be a valuable piece of, I think, their run game and how they want to operate that offense this season. Danny Lewis, another guy that can help there at tight end. But I think the in-between guy, just off of the tight end conversation, is going to be Caleb Odom. You saw him have a nice catch in traffic, and it was a little bit later in the game. And even Pash and Greg talked about that was somebody they thought they'd mention just a little bit more. I know the coaches like this young man. Tight end, receiver, back and forth. He's sort of that hybrid player, in-between tweener, that if they can get him to buy into being in line a little bit more, maybe he can help you there. But a flex guy that looks like a tight end, so you got to, they have to at least be identified as a tight end at some point. So you got to get guys that are willing to be able to get in there. That's why you guys that listen to this show, you hear me say, man, he's willing to get in there and put his face mask into the chest of a defender. He at least gets in there, shoots his hands, runs his feet. I don't need a devastating blocker at tight end. Show me you're willing to do it. Therefore, we can force the defense to identify you as a tight end. Now we can move you around and we can find some mismatches, cause some problems, and get you some footballs. Got to get that part of his game going. But, man, he can run. He's got a good catch radius. Somebody that I think can really help this football team. And if he is a receiver, I think that's okay, because there's not a lot of bigger bodies in this receiving core. I think right now it's a solid receiving core. I think they feel good about it. Cole Adams will be in the slot. They feel fine with what he's going to be able to offer. You know, Prentice and Law, somewhat similar. I think Kendrick Law is a little bit stronger. He's not a big kid, but he's strong. He plays stronger than he really is. And he may have found a little bit more value in this offense, and we got a peek of it in the spring game. You saw the little push pass, end around. You saw the reverse. I think he can handle that. I think physically, because of that strength, he can hold up getting some of those kind of carries. And that's that east-west portion that we saw a little bit of in this game that I absolutely love. The quick game's going to be there. The shots down the field are going to be there. The run game will be there, and the run game will be complex, especially with some of the movements, the splitters, the formations we talked about. Add the Q run to that. It makes it more complicated. But now you get some east-west threats, which Alabama's had some guys that can do it, haven't utilized it a ton, with maybe Law and Emmanuel Henderson, the high school quarterback, kick returner, running back that didn't really know receiver very well when he got to school, even though Jim Bob Stripling, his high school coach, kind of helped him develop that before he came. This is a young man that can burn. You saw him go side to side, had a good catch, dropped the ball, but he's somebody that has different speed. I mean, different speed. And if he's utilized that way, sideline to sideline, he forces defense to defend you in a different way also. He's going to be in the mix. He's going to be a part of it. And I think his speed is valuable enough for them to sort of force him in, even if there's a minor headache or two along the way. I'm excited to see him get going, because I know he's put a lot into actually learning the receiver position, and I do think he has a better understanding of it now from what I've been told, and he's a guy that could really potentially help this offense. The guy everybody was surprised about was Jeremy Bernard. 6'1", 203, made some contested catches down the field. It shouldn't be a big surprise to people that watched Eddie Washington. Now, he wasn't one of the 2,000-yard receivers that they had. He doesn't run like Odunze does, but he's a bigger body receiver that has a good catch radius, that can run routes, not afraid to go up and get the football. Right now, he's that guy for Alabama. And the value of him coming in will be shown early and often. But the receiving core, I think, just is looking for a couple more bigger bodies. Don't necessarily have that. And maybe can you get consistent with your take your top off guy? That could be Emmanuel Henderson. We'll see. But I came out of this feeling a little bit better about that group because of some of the different things they might be asked to do. But the consistency still can take an extra step. Jalen Hill is going to miss the majority of the season. Don't know exactly when they'll get him back. It's not going to be soon. And that was a little bit of a bigger blow. All right, so we'll go to defense. Defense, Tim Smith, the first guy up front. When we talk about defensive line, he's got to pick up. Pete Golding told me this 3-4 years ago. When it's on, it's on, and it's humming, and it's hard to block, and he can get it. But a lot of times it's not. The consistency's just got to be there. And when we talked to Auburn and Jason Jones, some of you hit in the comments, like, well, if he hadn't done it in 4 years, it's not going to happen now. Well, there's a couple kids at this program that a few years down the road had gotten it done. And two, Justin Aboigbe being one last year, that the light did come on. And one that was in the Senior Bowl 2 years before that, where the light came on late. It can happen. It can absolutely happen, and he's got that ability to be able to make it go. Tim Keenan did some good things in this game. You saw him really strike and shed in the spring game, get those offensive linemen extended and throw them off. But he played great football down the stretch last year. Damon Payne loved his hands in this game, took advantage of some offensive linemen, tossing them around a little bit. 44 is going to be a guy that helps. Felt pretty good about him, but saw some things in the spring game that I think are going to be able to help as well. You know, Jaheim Otis is going to be there. In the fall, we know what he's capable of. He'll be fine. Isaiah Finn, 88, was a guy that stuck out a little bit. Flashed a little bit in the spring game. I haven't heard a lot about him, but you saw him disrupting a little bit, kind of getting to the backfield, forcing some runs to bounce back, getting there in the pass rush a little bit. Think he might be able to help. James Smith, 47, had some good pass rush moves from inside, so he could be somebody that helps a little bit as well. Defensive end, LT Overton, I think he wore 22 in this game. Good pass rush moves off the edge. I was impressed with his bend and his get off for a 265, 260-ish defensive end. Like I like the quickness. And from what my understanding is, he's been very impressive in the spring. So he'll help at defensive end. He'll add some pass rush. Jamarian Latham, 20, good bend, good get off as well. He's going to help over there at defensive end. And then you have the little more twitchy guys like a Keon Keeley, young pup. Has a ton of ability, freakish athlete. 31 will be able to get it off the edge a little bit too. But the actual edge defenders, Quindarius Robinson, solid. Great length, going to be able to help. Keanu Coot, freaky, freaky talent, freaky ability. He's somebody that when he's turned loose, he's going to be able to be a problem. And I think he'll continue to grow and he'll continue to get closer. Yonze Pierre and Quay Rousseau, both guys, I think Kane Womack believes will be solid, can contribute, may not be ready right this second, but they feel good about the level of ability and talent and guys that I think are going to be able to help up front on that defense as well. The linebackers off the ball, the first two, no problem at all. We know what Jihad Campbell is. We know what Deontay Lawson is. That's not going to be an issue. You did see some flashes of Justin Jefferson and his speed and how he's able to get sideline to sideline. That's where he's going to be able to help. So maybe teams that are playing more 10 personnel, more spread formation teams, maybe he plays the Husky a little bit at times. I don't think the awareness or the vision is exactly what you want it to be for an off-the-ball linebacker every down, every play, but he has the athleticism and speed to be able to help. This is a spot where I think Alabama tries to go to the portal. If they get a capable linebacker that can come in and get some valuable snaps, not a starter, but just a guy, and also keep in mind special teams. What are the two positions that do more on special teams than anybody else? Probably off the ball linebacker and safety. So you need numbers there. You need bodies there. So don't be surprised if there's an off the ball linebacker that Alabama pulls in through the portal. Justin Okoronkwo, I think you saw him. He had a run through, tackle for loss, good explosive abilities, just young, needs some time. Nolan Asbury, a lot of speed, twitched up, but don't know exactly how he's going to be utilized just yet. Maybe could help. We'll see. But I think they go get one. That Husky position I mentioned, you know, Red Morgan's sort of the guy right now. I mentioned Jefferson maybe can help you a little bit there. Devontae Smith could be somebody who helps there, coming off an injury, not 100% just yet, but wouldn't be surprised if he's somebody who can help. Maybe sort of be that guy in that spot. Safety, you got Malachi Moore, and apparently Keon Sabb has been an amazing pickup. Physicality, speed, awareness, leadership, like it's all sort of working out with him. He is going to end up being a massive get for Alabama with some versatility to add on the back end of that defense. Cornerback's a position a lot of people are worried about. I understand it. Kool-Aid McKinstry, Terrion Arnold are moving on. But Xavien Brown, I think, is a name similar. We're going to talk about him in a similar fashion that we did Terrion Arnold, where he wasn't the focal point coming into the season. But at the end of the year, we're going to look back and be like, man, that kid came a long way. Whew, he did a lot. Because my understanding is that he gets it. He can absorb it. He can apply it very quickly. He can adapt. He's ready. That's the way that it's been explained to me and that I understand it. Carries himself like a veteran. So don't be surprised if he's a guy that helps. Damani Jackson, his physicality, the USC corner coming in, he'll be one of those guys. Mbakwe could help. Javier Mincy, I think, could help. Zaleel potentially could be a guy that gets a lot of reps as well. I think there's good numbers long-term here. I don't know if all of those guys are going to be game-ready right now once we get to the opener, but I think you have enough. And I think the secondary, with a little bit of an altered way that they're going to operate, not as much pattern matching and a little bit more of the vision coverage, they're going to be fine. And with the different looks that you're going to see, and keep in mind, like you're going to see some 3-3-5. Like Colin Hitzler is a guy that you need to know about on this Alabama staff. He was up there with Fickell. They toyed around with some different looks, and he'll be able to get them in and out of some of these things that not a lot of SEC teams have seen. And they'll be able to move some different guys, play different linebackers and apexes in different places. You'll get some five down that I think Alabama is going to play this year, something that I think that really and truly Kane's probably wanted to play for a while but hasn't had the bodies to be able to do it. And now they'll be capable of doing that. So what questions did I have that were answered in this spring game? Some of the receivers, how they're going to be utilized, are they capable? Yes, feel good about it. Offensive line, middle three solidified. One tackle that has started coming back in. I told you guys a couple weeks ago, am I worried about his conditioning and being game ready? Yes. He didn't get a spring practice. He was already overweight. He went on spring break. He moved a couple times. Yeah, I'm worried about that part of it. Can Caden Proctor play? Yes. Physically, he's probably going to have a long way to go to be able to get there. It can happen, but when your focal point a couple of months before the season is just shedding pounds and not getting football ready, that's very different, and it puts you physically capable in very different ways of what you're able to do. The linebacker defensive line, sort of waves of players who could potentially be able to help. I feel actually a lot better about the D-line. Some of the bodies I saw doing different things, the get-off, the twits, the pass rush moves, I feel better about that group. I really do. Linebacker concerned about depth. We've already seen Deontay Lawson get dinged up. If that were to happen, I think this team's in trouble, to be perfectly honest with you. But you've got versatility on the back end with Jackson, Moore, Sab. I think you've got more physicality on the back end than people probably believe right now. And I saw a couple of guys flying downhill to the football, coming up wanting contact, making plays. And I think backup quarterback is one that you had to be a little bit concerned about. And if they're going to add more quarterback run, you need the next guy to be able to be ready and step up. So you got oomph in the middle on the offensive line. You got solid running backs. You have different backs you can work on. A heavy group of tight ends that are heavy-handed that are going to be able to help you in different ways. Pass pro, formations, and physicality. That's all a plus. Defensive line, I think you have a little bit more versatility than people give you credit for. So I think what's it going to look like? We've got a couple of those answers in this as well. So I think there's a lot to be positive about, a lot to feel good about. The folks that are saying there's going to be this massive drop-off, I just don't see it. I actually think offensively they'll scheme some people up more than they have in the last year or two. That's going to be fun to watch. That'll be something that's really interesting for this Alabama defense. So it's going to be cool, man. I mean, I think there's a long way to go with it and a lot to be excited about. kind of similar to a couple things that are coming up, like Mother's Day. We're all excited about that, right? We love Mom. Blakely's Bouquets right here in Homewood. Had a couple people comment. They just moved to Birmingham. Thank you. I needed my go-to flower shop. Now you've got it. Downtown Edgewood, Blakely's Bouquets, 205-579-4900. Give them a call today. Let them know what they can do for you. Get your Mother's Day orders in now, and you don't have to worry about it. All of Jefferson, all of Shelby County, they'll deliver there. Subscription service coming soon. They've helped me through Easter. They've helped me through different things in the spring. Wedding season is here. A lot of things happening. Graduation, blakeleysbouquets.com. Find them on Instagram. Go search, see what they can do. Wonderful job. Great people as well. They want to help you out. They're going to go out of their way to do that. I appreciate them being a part of the show. All right, so we're going to continue spitting out some of these spring reviews after spring games. I'm in Starkville this weekend with Richard Cross in the Mississippi State spring game. And I'm actually excited about that, other than it looks like there's going to be some bad weather, because I don't feel like I know a ton about this roster right now. I have a lot of questions, a lot of concerns that I feel like I need answered, and I'm going to get a lot of those this weekend. Love Coach Levy. Excited for Coleman Holzer and him being able to be the DC and getting his crack at that. I like the staff he's put together, but I need to talk to him. I need to sit down with him. I need to know what's going on. So that'll probably be next this weekend. We'll try to get that one out on Sunday, and then we should be back on track. And who knows? Maybe things slow down a little bit. I'm going to be up in Charlotte doing a show in studio for the draft Thursday night after the first round. I got a UFL game in D.C. next Sunday, so it's going to be off. I shouldn't even sit there and say that I think things are going to get back on track. It's not going to happen. Thank you for tuning in. If you're on YouTube, please like, please subscribe. We're so close to 10,000. Trying to get there. Prove to Josh Pate that we can do it. He's doubting us. He's hating. But we're going to get there. We're going to get there because of you, and we appreciate that. If you're listening on iTunes or Spotify, please subscribe. Please like, please rate, review, tell your friends about it. And we'll be back talking more college football next week or this weekend or sometime very soon. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Cube Show. We'll be back.
The Bigger Pockets portfolio of podcasts are worthy of your investment.
We're having a real conversation as real estate investors.
New episodes available every day.
It's important to buy where it makes money and not necessarily where you want to travel to.
Bigger Pockets, On the Market, Rookie Real Estate, or Money Podcast.
The purpose of flipping is to create more cash so then you can reinvest into other types of properties.
The Bigger Pockets podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen.